Hey, back. It's Downtown Tuesday afternoon and time for our weekly check-in to talk Celtics and more with John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Coach, when are we going to get a coach for this team? Does that need to wait until after the playoffs are over?
I don't know if it has to wait until the playoffs are over, but the playoffs do certainly complicate the search because there are guys who are still involved in the playoffs that are among the candidates. So, you know, Chauncey Billups is still coaching with the Clippers. Ime Udoka is still with Brooklyn. A couple of candidates are still coaching with Milwaukee. So, you know, those guys are all preparing for their series. And, you know, it's not as simple as calling a guy up and asking him what his strengths and weaknesses are. You know, that person has to put together a comprehensive plan to kind of demonstrate to Brad Stevens that he understands who he has on his team, the strengths, the weaknesses, and some novel ideas for taking this team and unlocking its potential. So that requires a lot of film study, a lot of things that, you know, a person needs to prepare for. You don't just call somebody up, you know, you don't call up Chauncey Billups to like, hey, let's talk tomorrow about coaching the Celtics. He's going to need time to prepare for that. So in between preparing for a very tough playoff series, these guys are going to, you know, it's going to be tough to line all of that up and get it done. It's going to take a few days.
I'm happy to see Jason Kidd interviewing other places.
I'm not a fan of Jason Kidd, the head coach. That's not to say that he can't learn a few things and be a better head coach, but I don't like how he's tried to position himself in the past and how he's back-channeled his way into trying to get more power. So I think avoiding a potentially power-hungry person whose focus isn't on the product on the floor necessarily, or you can't be sure that his focus is on the product on the floor, that's okay. You can go somewhere else.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. You talk about it on the new podcast. Brad Stevens setting out to rebuild the Celtics bench. Where does that process begin?
Well, the process begins with the ownership group, really, and what they're willing to spend, what their edict is. If they tell Brad Stevens, you cannot pay the tax this year no matter what, then that's going to dictate him trading Kemba Walker, maybe not getting anything back for Kemba Walker, and then how they might even not re-sign Evan Fournier in that scenario. But they say, okay, we understand we're going to pay the tax. Let's do our best. Then maybe what he does is he trades Kemba Walker anyway, but he tries to get players in return, and hopefully that brings in someone useful that you can help build a bench with. And then after that, you move one or two of the other guys that you get, and you save some money that way. That makes it a little bit more palatable because you can start getting useful players in to kind of fill out your bench. But it really starts with how much money Brad Stevens is allowed to spend. He's already limited by having only trade exceptions and mid-exception and the taxpayer mid-level at that, which is like not even $6 million. So he's already limited. So it's just a question of whether the ownership group is going to limit him even further by telling him he can only spend so much money.
John, you wrote about this on Boston Sports Journal, discussed it on the podcast as well, but the decision on whether or not to re-sign Evan Fournier is in many ways sort of, as you put it, a microcosm of everything about the coming offseason, of the offseason and the coming season for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, like Evan Fournier represents so much of what went wrong. Like he's part of the Gordon Hayward thing. He's part of the short turnaround there. He had COVID. He's tied to the ownership group. Like everything that the Celtics have been dealing with the weirdness of it can be tied to like, oh yeah, that Evan Fournier has dealt with that. Now, I don't think they're going to sign him long-term. I think they might want to sign him. And again, goes back to the owners. How much money are they willing to spend? They might try to lowball him and say, hey, you know, if you like it here, then maybe you can play for this, which probably won't go well. They probably won't go more than 2 years because there's a free agent class in 2023, that includes people like Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, and there's some really big names there, and you probably want to position yourself to be a player in that market. So they're not going to do contracts past then. They're going to want cap space past then. That's also where you've got one more year left of Jaylen Brown and two more years left of Jason Tatum. You really want to be able to put a team together there that makes them want to stay, come back, sign another contract after that. And that's where the owners are really going to want to spend their money. But the question about Evan Fournier is he going to do something like that short term? Or is somebody like I can see the New York Knicks coming in with all of their cap space, and they want to be players in that same free agent class, and they can give Evan Fournier 1 year, $25 million, overpay him by $5 to $7 million more than what he's really worth, and they get the guy, he helps them shore up a need, he gets 1 year of a huge payday, and the Celtics are out of luck. So there are a lot of different factors at play. Evan Fournier's free agency is a lot more complicated than here is what we think that you're worth, and here is however long a contract we want to give you.
Well, as you say in the piece, they don't want to get hamstrung with salaries in this offseason, certainly. But with that in mind, who is the biggest name, or at least a big name, that could factor into their plans for the coming season?
Well, I think everybody's watching Bradley Beal, because he's got 2 years left in his deal. The second one is a player option. So if he's done in Washington, you don't want to go too crazy this year with long-term contracts. You want to be able to give Washington good young players, good players, draft picks. You don't want to be spending a ton of draft picks. And this is why the Kemba Walker thing is also interesting. You can't be spending a ton of draft picks just to get off contracts. You want to be able to save those contracts for a deal like this, going after Bradley Beal. So if he decides this year that he wants out, then all of a sudden the focus shifts greatly with the Celtics, because they're going to want to be able to offer Washington as much as they can and hopefully maybe try to get Bradley Beal without giving up Jaylen Brown and keeping that trio together. And you can now compete with a Brooklyn Nets team that, I mean, we're seeing them be not healthy right now, but next year, if they're healthy and they have a full off season and all of that together, will be the prime competition. So Bradley Beal could be the biggest story of this season for sure.
Well, speaking of the Nets, let's break away from the Celtics, look at the playoffs for a moment. Are the Nets suddenly in trouble in that series?
I would say so. It's going to be interesting to see how they use Kevin Durant, how much they use Kevin Durant. Because obviously, look, he's a little bit older, and you can't ask him to do everything. He's going to get hounded like crazy, and every other Brooklyn Net is going to be challenged to do enough to beat Milwaukee. So we'll see. James Harden has been upgraded to doubtful, which, I mean, he was out, so he's going to try to give it a shot. And it goes to show, like, they don't feel like they have everything it takes to beat Milwaukee if they only have Kevin Durant. Like, this is this goes back to the trade for Harden, and you wonder now if going after Harden was one star too many, because you could have had Caris LeVert. You could have had, you could have had a couple of these other guys. You could have had Jared Allen. You could have had, some of these young guys that would still step up, and you had more depth before. So you could have withstood a Kyrie Irving injury. But we'll see. I think if it's just Kevin Durant, then suddenly Milwaukee becomes a favorite in this series.
You told us last week that Atlanta was one of the big surprises of the postseason, and they continue to surprise. I did not expect this series to be all tied up through four.
No. They are just hanging around and taking advantage of whatever mistakes Philly is making. They didn't shoot particularly well. Trae Young didn't shoot particularly well, but he had a ton of assists. So he still made plays for other people. But they're, credit to Atlanta. They're sticking with it, and they're doing what they need to do to win these games. Now, on the other side, I'm very disappointed in Joel Embiid. Not because he shot 0 for 12 in the second half. He's hurt. I know that, you know, he was tired and all of that, but he got super, super frustrated and got into his own head, and that's a running problem with Embiid. He had an altercation where he thought he could have gotten a foul, and as he was running back up in the court, he swore at the fans in Atlanta. So that tells you that they're getting into his head. Then he spent a few possessions really trying to, instead of just trying to shoot the ball, really trying to hunt for fouls, like in an exaggerated way. And then he got away with a push on the back of John Collins, which I would think the NBA should review and upgrade that to a flagrant one, because it certainly was a blatant push to the back of his head. Embiid let the circumstances get to him, and I think that was part of the problem. He didn't play with any poise down the stretch, and it allowed Atlanta to kind of come through and make some great plays while Philly wasn't making any of the right plays. So we'll see what happens in the future, and if his knee it continues to be a problem, and if that frustration continues to be a problem, we could be looking at Milwaukee and Atlanta in a conference finals, which is wild.
Yeah, some very interesting series going on right now. John Corrales, follow his work at Boston Sports Journal, and of course, subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. We'll catch you again next week.
All right, talk to you then.